And with us in studio now is Kate Duggan, Chief Executive of the Child and Family Agency, TUSLA. You're very welcome. Good morning. Your annual report is out today and we'll talk about issues facing TUSLA in just a moment. But just picking up on the story of the Commission of Investigation, will TUSLA be cooperating with the Commission on the basis of files that either yourselves or your predecessors within the HSE have had on children who are abused in schools?
Yeah, good morning, Audrey. I think, first of all, I think it's very important when we hear what Louise talks about there in terms of the voice of survivors, the trauma that they have experienced over many, many years, and the importance now of this commission being established. TUSLA certainly played a role in the scoping inquiry that have led to the recommendation for the establishment of this commission, and under Justice McGrath, and certainly through the scoping inquiry, we made all of the information relevant available. We worked with that scoping inquiry to establish, I think, that, you know, what has been found is that systems today are more robust and standardised and more effective, and that's something that's very important to us as a child and family agency. But certainly we will work with the Commission in any way that we are asked to do so, in terms of really trying to make sure that we get what Louise talks about there, which is an acknowledgement, a recognition of the level of abuse that was suffered within those schools. And also, obviously, to make sure that we never become complacent, to think that this might never happen again, and that that also remains a focus for us as an agency.
Well, let's talk about the challenges facing TUSLA at the moment. Barely a month goes by without the courts highlighting what they regard as serious failings by TUSLA. In May, Judge John Jordan described the ongoing failure by TUSLA to provide secure care beds, and this is a recurring issue, to the most at risk, as an affront to the rule of law. He was talking, as he heard, about a 15-year-old boy who is misusing alcohol and drugs, who's engaging with a criminal group, has been assaulted, his father telling the court that he believed his son would die if he didn't get secure care. He also heard about a 16-year-old girl who's self-harming, who's drawn into a life of criminality, dealing in crack cocaine, being sexually exploited, has attempted suicide. These are really horrible, hard stories. And Judge Jordan was scathing of TUSLA for not complying with orders that they had applied for, and that he was tired of all what he called the excuses and the platitudes from your agency. How do you defend that?
I think the first thing to say that's very important, Audrey, is when we look at the continuum of children in care under the care of the agency, we have today over 5,700 children in care. And we're very proud of the fact that almost 87 or 88% of those children are in foster care and are doing very well. We have another cohort of children who are in residential care and in residential centres and doing very well also right across the country. But there is a small number of children who have very complex needs. And in those cases, a judge within the High Court has to make the most difficult intervention, which is to make an order to admit that child into special care and to really protect themselves from harm of others or from harm from themselves. And certainly over the last number of years, we have been challenged in increasing the capacity of the beds within special care.
Why is that? Because this is life and death for these children.
I think the first thing today to say is, it's very important to say, is that we have no child today in the state who is waiting a special care bed. So any child who needs a special care bed today is able to access a special care bed. And we
those children from back in May, they're
they have all
been.
So there is no child that is waiting a special care bed.
In those few weeks?
So I think the first thing is we've always acknowledged that one of the significant challenges within special care has been the capacity of beds. I think it has been well documented. We have a capacity to have 26 children in special care. Today we have staffing for 16 children in special care. We have in fact only 15 children in special care today. One of those young people has very complex needs and needs a much higher ratio of staffing. So what has changed is that we have been able to increase our staffing within special care. We've been delighted with the support of our own parent department, Minister Foley, and with Depender to have secured a new grade of staff for special care.
It just seems inadequate. Sorry to interrupt you, but Daniel McInaspy, whose name we all know, and this preceded TUSLA's establishment. He was a young boy, 17, murdered in Blanchardstown, buried in Meath back in 2010. He begged to be taken into secure care in the months before his death. So this is ongoing for many, many years. His inquest recently recommended 70 secure beds. That's what the coroner there thought was necessary. Mm-hmm. Is there any hope of achieving that anytime soon?
Certainly our data wouldn't indicate that we need 70 secure care beds. I think I started this by saying this is the most severe intervention that a judge can make. What we are seeing right across the demand for our services at the moment is an increasing number of children and young people who have very significant and complex needs. And whether that is in relation to addiction, whether that's in relation to mental health, whether that's in relation to, you know, a really significant and ongoing risk of exploitation, whether that is sexual, whether that's criminal exploitation. And those children and young people need a variety of different care placements. And we certainly absolutely welcome the government's commitment in the programme for government for a whole of government approach.
Was that judge unfair in his criticisms, or do you accept it?
Absolutely accept that where a child needs special care, they should be able to access special care. And we have achieved that this year.
Okay.
And we are absolutely committed to further increasing that capacity, but to also working with all of the other stakeholders in making sure that children who are vulnerable in communities are getting early intervention, are getting the services that they need, so that actually we're not having to take them into secure care to be able to protect themselves from harm.
In recent weeks, we learned that around 30 children who were seeking international protection here have gone missing in state care. Have any of them been located at this point?
I think the first thing, again, I think it's well documented both in our annual report in 2024 and continues into 2025, the really significant increase. The increase in global movement internationally has resulted in a significant increase in young people seeking international protection. And in describing that, that is where a young person alone, having travelled maybe halfway across the world, does present at a TUSLA office, having been to the International Protection Office, that need to be accommodated and need to be looked after.
If they go missing, do you have an obligation to find them?
If a child goes missing in care, whether that's a child in one of our mainstream residential centres or whether that's one of our 554 young people that are accommodated through our separated children's services tonight, our obligation, if they go missing, is to immediately engage with An Garda Síochána. An Garda Síochána, through their own services, through their engagements with Interpol, you know, do everything that they can do. And
so
one
have
of
any
the
of
things,
those 30 been found, do you know?
There's 27 young people today who came to the Separated Children Seeking International Protection Service who still remain missing. What's very important, Audrey, is many of those young people do indicate to us their intention to travel on, that Ireland is not their final destination. But what we're very mindful of is we all know the risk, the increased risk of exploitation, the increased risk of, you know, harm that can come to those young people through trafficking. And so we continue to count them as missing until the guards can locate them.
Okay.
And that's very important, because as long as they remain reported as missing, they remain open to An Garda Síochána, as I said, not just in terms of their case management in Ireland, but with Northern Ireland and internationally.
We're out of time this morning, but thank you very much for coming in and answering our questions. Kate Duggan, Chief Executive of the Child and Family Agency, TUSLA.